Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, January the 25th. 2022, 125-22, 16 minutes past the hour. I believe this is the last Tuesday in the month of January. I believe the 31st is next Monday, so next Tuesday will be February the 1st. February or February, depending on how you pronounce it. Now, it is kind of interesting, the weather. We're all talking about the weather. Now, do you remember when the Farmer's Almanac lady came on? I believe she came on back in, I don't remember if it was late November or early December. Might have been early December. But she said that we were going to have a white Christmas, and the weather was going to be cooler, and so on and so forth. And then we all learned that Christmas was rather mild. We did not have a white Christmas. And really, the whole month of December was pretty mild. Now, we get into the month of January, which she said was going to be particularly cold. Colder than past Januaries. And, you know, from mid-January until the end of January, it sounds like it's going to be particularly cold. And certainly, we have had some snow accumulation in the last 2 weeks. Yesterday's snow was kind of funny. Because we had the snowfall on Sunday again, and Sunday's snowfall was a little less than the week before, about an inch less. We got about 2.5 inches here at the station. And then the snowfall came yesterday, and there were moments where it was kind of strong, but I went out this morning, and I don't think we really got a whole lot of accumulation. You know, yesterday it was supposed to be 1 to 3. That's what Adam called in and said. And I think we might have gotten an inch. I went outside and tried to measure this morning, and I know that we had already had 2.5 inches on the ground as of yesterday. And it only looks like we have maybe 3.5 on the ground now. So yesterday's whole total snow accumulation looks like it was probably about an inch. Now, does anybody have any different readings on this, or did you see anything different on television? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I'll tell you the problem. The problem was the temperatures staying 30 and below, and the first snowfall not really having melted at all, just having happened the day before. And the wind was blowing pretty good yesterday, too. So the roads, there was a period yesterday where the roads were a little treacherous to be on here in Marion. You know, I was on the road yesterday morning, obviously. And then when the snow kicked up again, I was on the road yesterday at about 3 o'clock. And they were not so good at 3 o'clock before that a second snowstorm happened. So, I guess we take it as we can get it here. Also kind of interesting that the temperatures are going to be so cold over the next few days, I don't think we're going to see any melting. No more snow, apparently, over the next few days, but definitely no more melting. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'll tell you right, I can't see hardly anything out here where I am. I'm sitting here watching fog roll in.
You know, somebody said this morning that out in the county, there is a lot of fog.
Yeah, well, Ridgedale and River Valley ended up closing, and all the schools are on a two-hour delay except for them two now. Well, Tri-River's closed.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I live out by Tri-Rivers, and I did not know anything about the fog until I got into the studio. There is zero fog, at least from Tri-Rivers into the city here. I didn't see any fog anywhere.
Yeah, well, I live west of town, so.
Now, I wonder what has caused that. Because usually, even if it's thick fog out in the county, there is some in the city.
I don't know. I mean, I know I looked at the weather this morning and it said the dew point was 11. Usually when the dew point and the temperature match, that's when you get fog. But I sat here and there wasn't any fog outside when I got up this morning. And I sat here and I watched it roll in. And right now I'm not that far away from the road and I can barely see the road.
Now, what time do you normally get up in the morning?
About 6:30.
So 6:30, no fog outside.
No, I didn't see any fog.
And it just kind of rolled in, and apparently now it's rather thick.
Yeah, it's thick. I can hardly see cars going down 309.
You know, I wonder where the fog is. I know the report that I got this morning was there was definitely fog out in the Caledonia area, which is what caused, I think, River Valley to cancel. Now, there must be fog out by Ridgedale for them to cancel, and also a lot of people from that area go to Ridgedale.
Yeah, I'm not really that far away from Ridgedale. I mean, it wouldn't take me that long to get over there, but...
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because in the city here, it really is clear. You would not know there was any fog at all. I don't know what the big difference is this morning.
I don't know either. The way the fog looked like it rolled in, it looked like it rolled in from the east.
Well, maybe we'll get the fog as the day goes on.
Well, that could be.
Now, as the snow accumulation went yesterday, did you see or get any more than an inch on top of what we already got?
Oh, I can't tell. It's so windy out here. I can still see grass peeking up through the snow.
So there was a lot of drifting yesterday out in that area.
Yeah, there's always drifting out here. It's terrible. Goes across the road, and the plows go up and down the road, but the wind just blows the snow across the road. You have to be careful.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We got the 2.5 inches, which I think was pretty much the consensus on Sunday. And yesterday, it did look like it was whipping up a big storm about the time that I left here. And there were times yesterday between 10 and about 2 o'clock in the afternoon where it was blowing pretty good. But when I went out and walked last night, which I did when the snow stopped, which was quite treacherous, by the way, because out where I live, of course, not a whole lot of plowing had been done, but it did not look like there had been much more accumulation, because you could still see footprints from the day before and earlier in the day. You could still see tire marks. So not all of that got filled in again. So I'm guessing there probably wasn't more than an inch yesterday. So I think that storm got prepped up maybe a little more than what it was going to be.
Yeah, it's hard to predict how much snow falls. I know when I went out yesterday, had to go pick up some prescriptions. I didn't want to go, but I had to go. And it was snowing when I left, and I left the house a little after 3:30 in the afternoon yesterday, and it was spitting snow. I had to turn my windshield wipers on. And then the closer I got to town, the worse the roads got. I could always tell when I'm getting close to Marion. Roads get worse.
Well, you know, it was, it's been interesting the last couple of days that the roads, today wasn't bad. I gotta say, coming here today, I really did not get on a road that was bad. But yesterday, when I was going back to the east side of town, the boulevard was not very clear. Now, maybe I just wasn't paying too close attention when I came down the boulevard to come here. Yesterday morning, but I don't remember it being that bad. But boy, when I was going back east yesterday, the boulevard was kind of treacherous, and 95 was not all that great either. Now, this morning it's fine, but yesterday was a little hectic.
I know when I left yesterday, I went, of course, I have to go east to go into town, and 309 was pretty good, and then the closer I got to Marion, all you had was tire tracks in the road, and you had to follow them tire tracks because you didn't dare get off into the snow. And then when I got on Fairground, there was hardly any tire tracks. And then then I went down Prospect to get to the radio station to get my certificate that I stumped Adam on.
Oh, you won that yesterday.
Yeah, well, I told you I was gonna think of a good question.
Oh, how did you stump the king of can't be stumped, according to him?
I asked him who was supposed to sing Kiss's song, God of Thunder, besides Gene Simmons. And he guessed Peter Criss, and it was Paul Stanley.
Now, that's a big one. That's a big that's not like an obscure trivia question, is it?
Well, no. If you're a Kiss fan, it's not really an obscure question, but...
Right. I'm shocked that he would be beaten on this.
Yeah, because it was in his wheelhouse. I mean, I'm pretty sure that album came out in 75.
So how did that go yesterday? Did he give the gift certificate to you because you were the first to stump him? Or how did... I didn't get to listen to any of his show yesterday.
Yeah, I called in shortly after his show started.
And you stumped him and that was it?
I stumped him and that was it. And then he started playing Family Feud. There were some other people called in about musical questions, but...
So he really, he was prize short right off the top of the show.
Yeah, I can't believe I stumped him. I mean, like I said, it was right in his wheelhouse.
Did any of the other music questions stump him yesterday?
Well, no, I don't think so because, well, there was one lady called in and asked how many times a certain phrase had been said in a song, and he guessed about a dozen, and it turned out it was 27. Like, that must have been the whole song, just saying that phrase.
So yesterday was not a good day for Adam, is what you're telling me in the music trivia.
He must have been off his game a little bit yesterday. He wasn't as sharp. I'm sure next time he plays, he'll be better.
So did you head on over yesterday to the Coney place?
No. I didn't have my wife with me or my daughter or nothing. They're recovering from the COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
More of the COVID going around.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're over it. They're just having the after effects. It's been more than 5 days since they were diagnosed.
So how are they feeling now?
Well, it's pretty much like they have head colds.
You know, that's what I keep hearing with this. I learned yesterday that somebody I knew had the head cold or had the COVID, and they pretty much were just saying that it felt like a cold.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe I haven't got it. I mean, I'm in the house with them. I try to stay away from them as much as I can. I'm in a whole separate room, but I mean, I have to walk through the house when I go anywhere in the house, and I can't believe I haven't gotten it. But I haven't, so far, as far as I know, I haven't gotten it.
Keep testing negative, huh?
Well, the last time I was tested, I was negative.
Did you have the booster shot and all that?
No, I've just had the two shots. I had the Pfizer shots, and that was clear back in October, when I got my last shot.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get it, and I'm glad the family is doing well. It's an interesting time right now. I'm still hearing people getting it at a pretty rapid pace, but I do know yesterday that I did see where it's starting to come down in Ohio. I think that was on the afternoon news yesterday on Channel 10.
I saw that.
Yeah, that it's starting to come down from where it was at record numbers, but holy moly, what a mess this whole thing has been.
I know, we're just lucky this variation isn't as strong as the other previous variations. This one's just, you kind of get it and you get over it. Unless you have underlying conditions might put you in the hospital, but other than that.
Yeah, you gotta hope for the best when it comes to it. Now, tell me honestly, did you think that question was going to stump Adam? Was that something you just knew from your musical trivia?
I did not think it was going to stump Adam. I thought for sure he'd get it.
You know, I've never heard him tested on music trivia, so I never really knew how good he was.
He's pretty good. I mean, I've listened to him. He's pretty good. He's sharp.
Well, that's just an off day, I guess, then.
Yeah, well, I've been following Kiss since 74, so I'm pretty proficient when it comes to that band.
Well, that's pretty good. Well, I'm glad you got the gift certificate, and I'm glad you'll be able to take some of the family over and have some good food, and you'll have to report on how it is, because I haven't been over there yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I'll call in when we go over there. After we go over there, I'll call in.
Yeah, let us know. Well, hey, thanks for listening.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, apparently a lot of fog out in the county. You know, that's what I heard this morning, that there was some fog in the Caledonia area that has caused some school cancellations this morning. Fog is not fun. Fog also is very dangerous because people tend not to put their headlights on. And I don't know why that is. We were talking about that the other day, about how when you have your windshield wipers on, you're supposed to have your headlights on even though it's daylight. And for some reason, people skip over that rule. That's one of those driving rules that people don't really pay attention to. And in the fog, a lot of times people forget to put their lights on. And that's very, very dangerous on a lot of roads, especially in the county. How is it where you are this morning? Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. How is the weather where you are? Is it foggy this morning? When I came in this morning, I was shocked when I got to the station and heard that there was all this fog, because out by Tri Rivers this morning, and I did notice that they were closed as I was driving by this morning, it's not foggy out there. Now, I know a lot of the kids who go there come from the county, and I'm sure that's why the cancellation happened, because of that fog, but it was not foggy out there on 95 at all. It was not foggy anywhere in the city as I came through town this morning, but maybe the fog will be moving in. Apparently, it didn't move in this morning till sometime after 6:30, and apparently, it's a pretty thick fog out in the county. So, does anybody have any snow reports from yesterday? Did everybody get about another inch, making the two-day snow accumulation about 3.5 inches? And how's the fog out in your area? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. 32.5 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. I do want to thank the amazing Kreskin. He was on, what was it now, 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about this book in which he voices one of the characters in the book. I believe he voices the magic tree. Yeah, here on the back it says he voices the magic tree. He did send me a copy of the book, as he said he would when he was on the air. And the book is called The Adventures of Little Billy in Search of the Magic Tree, written by Barry Farber, illustrated by Glenn A. Schofield, color transformation by Shoshana Summer. And it was very nice. He autographed the book inside to my special friend Scott, E.S. Peakley Kreskin. Only Kreskin would autograph a book that way. But it's a very nicely illustrated children's book. Obviously, I'm not going to read this whole book on the air. But I'm glad that he was able to send this. And it does say, coming to television, soon to be an animated series, Little Billy will be voiced by Eden Contes. Interesting, the boy, Little Billy, will be voiced by a girl. But I know a lot of young boys in animated series are voiced by girls. Isn't Bart Simpson voiced by a girl all these years? Jordan T. Owl will be, or Lawrence T. Owl will be voiced by Jordan Farber. Bosco the Bear will be voiced by Bobby Collins. Sheba the Wolf, Tara McIntosh. Sherman the Turtle, Otis Jerome O.J. Anderson. And the Magic Tree will be voiced by the amazing Kreskin. And down here it says, like all great children's books, In Search of the Magic Tree tells a compelling story kids can relate to with intriguing, strong values and parent that parents will appreciate. With its upbeat protagonist and colorful characters, this is a tale for everyone to enjoy. And that's Don Wolf, founder and president of Lone Wolf Writing Company and former vice president of corporate communications for the Walt Disney Company, said that. And apparently here in the United States, this book will run you $14.99. But I guess it is going to be a television series, an animated television series, so Kreskin will get to be the voice. There are a lot of notes from the author in this book, which you don't see a whole lot. But it does mention quite a bit in here that it's going to be an animated series. Anyway, I thank the amazing Kreskin for sending that along after he said he would. Again, it's the book is The Adventures of Little Billy in Search of the Magic Tree and apparently coming to a television near you sometime soon in animated form. All right, 740-383-9944. Talking about snowfall totals in Marion yesterday, I think, again, probably about an inch. Also talking about the fog that might be in the area. And again, the school cancellations that happened today. I know that River Valley canceled, Ridgedale canceled. I think Marion City is still on a two-hour delay. I don't see anything different at this point. Not sure about Pleasant. If anybody has any information, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. You know, when I started in radio, school closings were something that were so crucial to radio. And especially here in Marion, because back in those days, they didn't even put Marion on television. If you would watch Columbus News in the Morning television, the Marion school closings were not on there. And when they finally started to put the Marion school closings on there, you would have to wait forever for the closing to come up because of commercials, and they didn't used to run it across the screen all the time. And you would have to wait for it to scroll along the screen. So radio was very important to Marion in those days, because if you wanted to know about Marion County schools, you had to listen to the radio. But as cell phones came into use, and as internet came into use, everybody at the school started using that. When it came to school delays and cancellations, it was a very quick way to get alerts if your school was canceled. So they kind of cut out the middleman when it came to that. They did not have to call the radio station anymore to get it announced on the radio so all the kids would know if they were going to school or not, because as soon as school was delayed or canceled, the parents' phone would go off, either with an alert or a text message or an email or something like that, which is a much more proficient system, obviously, than reading it on the air. But that was a major, major thing in those days. A matter of fact, when I was at WMRN, the school delays and cancellations had their own sponsor, which I believe was Marion General Hospital at that time. So every time you did the school delays and cancellations, you had to make sure to say brought to you by Marion General Hospital. And also, there was a special phone number that all the superintendents had from Marion County. And there were some others, too, that were outside of Marion County that we would announce, but they all had that special phone number that would light up in the studio so you could take the call from them, and you knew it was a superintendent. And then there for a while, there was even a code that they had to give you. Everybody had a code, and that's how you knew about the school delays and cancellations back in those days. Go ahead, caller.
Well, here in Pleasant Township. As I look out the window, I see if the snow was beaches, I see sunny beaches. And as in Florida, like Phyllis Diller, witches, as in which in October. Anyhow, yeah, I got over a quarter mile visibility here, but there's some low-laying fog around, but I don't see where it closed anything. But, you know, from one half mile to the next half mile, it can be a lot of variance in there.
Do you know what time the fog rolled in this morning?
Whenever I looked out, I saw sunny, beautiful visibility on the ground and the trees shadowing across the snow. It's just absolutely beautiful, and it looks like it may be a little bit more, but the sun's shining so bright it's going to burn it off pretty quick, it looks. But it's low laying. In other words, I can look a half mile, I can see the top of the trees. So it's laying close to the ground. It didn't get up much higher, but it might progressively get, you know, in the next 5 minutes, it could be thick as hair on a dog's back.
Well, you know, I was kind of surprised. Usually when there's fog in Marion County, we certainly see some of it in the city. But this morning, I did not see anything from the drive out by Tri Rivers all the way over here to South Prospect. I did not see a bit of fog.
And as I'm talking, it looks like it's setting in a little bit more now. The top of the trees and the sun's high in the sky there, you know, off the horizon and everything, and it may be getting a lot worse. If it gets much worse, I'll just give you a jingle just and see. If sometimes as the day goes by, I've seen it get awful foggy, you know, after an hour and a half in the morning, it might be a little, and then, buddy, it's terrible an hour and a half later, and you'd think it'd be least amount of fog as the day progressed.
Absolutely. Well, we know Ridgedale and River Valley have closed today because of fog. I wonder how Pleasant's doing.
Oh, pretty tough out here at Pleasant. They don't close her down too much.
They have a stern superintendent, huh?
Oh, boy, yeah. You think they learned a lot off of Doc Brown in our days at school, you know. We never, I don't ever recall ever having a day off or a snow day or anything, truthfully, and I walked about a mile and a half, you know, uphill both ways to Harding High School. Well, Shirley Hill, you had to go uphill when you went into Bell Fountain. I walked from west end Merkle here and then up Bell Fountain. That was a flat, and then you go over across there and then up Gurley Hill and then down Gurley Hill and then through an alley and you'd be at Harding High School. But that was walk there in snow, rain, sleet, whatever it was. We never, you know. Of course, you know, everything changed. School buses and the schools moved way out from towns and stuff like that. So anyhow, it was fun. I love Doc Brown. He was a dandy guy, you know. Did you ever meet him in your time?
Yeah, I met him a couple times. It was toward the end of his life, but yeah, he was an interesting man.
Oh, I went down to Waldo there, and they had always had a coon supper every year, and I was in there. Oh, I don't know how long I was out of school. I can't really recall that, but it was a long time. And I was down there, and I thought I heard Doc Brown's voice, and there he was over there at a table. I think just playing poker, and he was drinking a mug of beer. And I went over to him, and I said, "Doc Brown." He said, "Yeah." And I told him about Harding High School, and he got a smile on his face, and I said, "I always recall you whenever you come, when we had an assembly, why you didn't need any microphone." And I believe, I'm talking 60 years ago, that he was a drill sergeant or something in the Marines, so when he gave the orders, well, everybody didn't have any trouble hearing him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he definitely had a position in the military, and maybe that's where that strong voice came from.
Oh, yeah, he was a drill. I'm pretty sure he was a drill sergeant in the Marines. But I told him, I said, "Hey, Doc," I said, "you know, I never thought I'd ever come and cost you like this." I said, "How about me buying you a beer?" He said, "I said, it's on me." He said, "Okay, thank you very much." I'll tell you, when you was in school, when he spoke, there wasn't you could hear a needle drop, you know, other than when he was talking. Nobody else was talking, and he meant business. But you thought he was a rough, tough guy, but he was a really a nice guy. I saw him several other times and talked to him. You know, I didn't know him personally about all his actions and stuff out of the school superintendent part, but he was a good guy. But he had a reputation that held Marion and some of us older people. He said, "They're closing schools today? You got to be joking," you know. But this would just be a mild thing. Just walk on by.
That's for sure. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Oh, look here. Wait a minute. Look here. Oh, now I'm going down the other way. I start seeing the top trees. So there's a fluctuation. It's staying or close to ground. But I wouldn't be worried about driving if I took off. But
a fluctuating fog out in the Pleasant Township.
Yeah, beautiful sun. Beautiful sun reflection off the snow, and it's just absolutely beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Well, hey, thank you.
Have a good one, Scott. Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right, the phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944, 46 minutes past the hour. Well, it sounds like it's very nice out in Pleasant Township this morning. Not bad here in Marion City, or at least it wasn't as I was driving in this morning. And in the county, Marion County, Ridgedale and River Valley areas, apparently the snow is, or the fog is rather thick. The snow, I think, is pretty well subsided. I think the roads are pretty decent at this point. How are the roads where you are? How is the fog? How are the weather conditions in general? Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And as I'm looking here, it's still, I think Marion City is still on a two-hour delay. I don't know anything about Pleasant, but we have been told, I believe, that Ridgedale and River Valley have closed for the day, as well as Tri Rivers. So that's the story as it is this morning. 740-383-9944. Doc Brown was an interesting person, and he does always come up when we talk about snow days and things of that nature, because I think he's probably more associated with being somebody who did not cancel school for any reason than anybody else. That maybe even anything else he did, even though he went on to become mayor, he went on to become a county commissioner. I believe he was a city council person at some point. Doc Brown did not like to cancel schools. There was something in him, and when he was in Marion City, schools got canceled very rarely. But you know, for a long time, Marion City did not like to cancel school. It was a very rare thing. I remember when, I think Dr. Thede was here for a while, and I think he had a pretty long tenure in Marion City schools. He was not keen on canceling schools because of weather. It didn't happen a whole lot. And then I think when the new schools were built, a lot of schools were taken out of neighborhoods and put a little further out. And a lot more kids started to be bused. For example, I mean, one of the things they did when you got rid of Mark Street School, well, now I believe the majority of those kids who went to Mark Street School now go to Taft, which is in Fair Park. Used to be only the kids who lived in Fair Park went to Fair Park School. Well, now a good portion who went to Mark Street go to Taft. So that's a little further distance, and I believe a lot of those kids have to be bused in. And Grant Middle School also, I think, created this problem because you used to have Baker, you used to have Edison, and you used to have Taft. So you had three middle schools that kids went to and walked to and rode buses to. It wasn't that great a distance to get to school. So the roads, the treacherousness of the roads was not really a factor there. Well, now, if you go to middle school in Marion, you go to the same place. You go over on Presidential, is Presidential a drive or an avenue? I think it's Presidential Drive. But you go over on Presidential, so whether or not you live in the Baker area or the Taft area or the old Edison area, which is quite a ways out there, you've got to get to Grant. And that's a long way coming. And it, you know, I never heard a whole lot about the busing situation and how that changed when the new schools were built, especially with the middle school. I would imagine the busing situation with the middle schools changed quite a bit. And I think that also changed how superintendents viewed canceling the schools. Does anybody have any thoughts on this or any memories of Doc Brown, the old days of school cancellations for Marion City Schools? Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It seemed like in those days, everybody had a Doc Brown story. Just because he did so much. Superintendent of the schools, city of Marion mayor, county commissioner. It was hard not to have a dealing with Doc Brown at some point. And it is a little different now in Marion City Schools because of the new outlay of the schools. And also, you've got to think now, Harding is annexed to the city, but really is not in an area that was considered to be the city, is considered to be the city. Where they built the new Harding, that would have been county, because the city stops there at Kensington. But that area got annexed to the city, so they could put Harding out there. So there probably is a lot of, I would just say that the busing issues and the locations of the school in Marion City have caused the school cancellations to come a little more often, and school delays. All right, where are we here? 52 and a half minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Talking about anything on your mind this morning, from the weather, which could include the snow yesterday, the fog this morning. Does anybody have any updates on any of the school cancellations or delays? Any memories of Doc Brown? Any memories of the old ways things were done in Marion City Schools and beyond? You know, we had a lot of great conversation yesterday on the radio when it came to antique malls and old radios and restaurants. I really do like old radios. We were taking phone calls going off the air yesterday talking about this. There's something about old radios that is just very appealing. Now, I know they call them vintage radios, and they are hard to pick up now because people sell them for so much. But radios in the, well, really 40s, 50s, 60s were just made different. They just looked different. And that also was a time for Ohio because of the Crosley Company, where you had all these radios being manufactured by the Crosley Company. And those radios were just beautiful and vintage. And it really was just a different time. Now, I do not have a Crosley. I believe I have a Crosley replica. But I do not have a Crosley radio. Most of the radios I have, and if you would ever walk through my house, you would see that I have a ton of radios, are replicas of old radios. But I do have a few old radios. And there's something about the tuner in those old radios that is so much better than the tuner in radios now. A lot of times, I'll turn on a newer radio, and you won't get the signal very well, even with an antenna. But if you turn on one of those older radios, and even the replicas, for whatever reason, that don't have antennas, the tuner works so well. Does anybody else find this to be true, who listens to this show over a radio, that those older radios, and sometimes those replicas, work better than the newer models of radios, even though the newer models have all the gadgets and newfangled things and antennas. Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. And also, another question yesterday was on the expensiveness of antiques. Now, that conversation was very interesting because we talked about how, well, what is overpriced at an antique mall? Well, if somebody's willing to pay it, then I guess it's not overpriced. But would they be moving more merchandise if the items were priced lower? I would think they would. But maybe there's not a high turnover. You know, maybe a lot of these people aren't out constantly looking for antiques. See, when I go to an antique mall, I assume that they want to sell that stuff. And I assume that a lot of those people probably go to antique shows quite a bit trying to find stuff to sell. So I would think they would want to move their merchandise rather quickly because they would want to make way for the new stuff. But that doesn't really seem to be the case in the places that I go. All right, coming up on 57 minutes past the hour, I hear a siren outside. Hopefully wherever that's going, the person is okay. Phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do want to remind everybody that the Ridgedale Lions Club 19th Annual Daytona 500 Dinner and Auction is coming up Saturday, February the 19th. Doors open at 4 p.m., dinner at 5, auction following. This will be at the IGF Sale Pavilion, 2730 Harding Highway West, State Route 309 West, near Big Island. Let's see here. If you buy a ticket for $15, you will get a fun evening at the auction, which will include a half chicken dinner with sides prepared by Country Caterers. Buy an auction item and support the Ridgedale Lions Club service projects. Tickets are available by calling a Ridgedale Lions Club member at 740-465-8001 or 740-244-6258. There are a limited number of tickets available. There will be a live auction of a quarter-scale NASCAR collector's die-cast car. If you are the top bidder for a car in the live auction, that will be your car in the February 20th, 2022 Daytona 500. Many more ways to win. Total purse is over $2,500. All money raised will be used by the Ridgedale Lions Club to support the club's donations and service projects. Now again, this is the Ridgedale Lions Club 19th Annual Daytona 500 Dinner and Auction taking place Saturday, February 19th. Doors open at 4 p.m., dinner at 5, auction following at the IGF Sale Pavilion, 2730 Harding Highway West. And the phone numbers again, 740-465-8001 or 740-244-6258. That's how you get a hold of somebody. And I think that's become a very big event. I spoke to the Ridgedale Lions Club a couple years ago, maybe 2020, 2019. Had a great time out there in the Ridgedale area. A good bunch of people. And they had great food that night. I remember that very well. So it was a lot of fun out with the Ridgedale Lions. Go ahead, caller.
Which half do you get?
And which half of the chicken?
Yeah.
I think whichever half you want.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make an informed decision.
Well, you have to do that when... how are the roads?
Well, it's not terrible.
Have you run into any...
Don't you just think, like, we don't really have very much problems nowadays? I mean, with the technology and the salt trucks and the plows and the this and the that, I mean, gone are the days when, like, you know how back in the blizzard or whatever, I mean, I wasn't alive, so I, you know, you hear the story, the horror stories. We don't really have problems like that nowadays.
It's a little different. Have you seen any fog anywhere?
No. I've seen a lot of craziness, though. People trying to turn from the middle lane and go down the wrong way on a one-way. I've seen that kind of craziness, but nothing from Mother Nature.
Well, it's just funny because I cannot remember a time when the county had apparently such thick fog and Marion City had zero.
Yeah.
Usually we get something.
Yeah, I'm in the mall parking lot. It looks bright blue and clear out here.
Well, that's good to hear. Why, stay safe out there and pick your side of the chicken quick.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to go to break. Come back here in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned to WWGH Radio.
FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address, 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number, 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.